There are so many opinions about hell. So many. The Jehovah's Witnesses say there is no hell. The humanists say that there is no hell. Some say that hell is here on earth. And of course we know that's not true. But some say that hell is on earth. Jehovah's Witnesses, no hell. Humanists, no hell. Others say that hell is short-lived, a hiding place. I've heard that some say that hell is just the grave. You go to the grave and the grave is hell. Still others spiritualize hell to be a picture of a bad place. That's what hell is. It's a picture of what a bad place really is. Or Satanists call hell home. This morning I want you to examine the Bible description of hell. This morning I want to present information to you that demands a verdict. Science knows nothing about hell. Human experience doesn't reach beyond the grave, you see. And so science, being based on observation, cannot see it, can't evaluate it. There's just one authority on heaven and one authority on hell, on the rewards and on the punishments, on the happiness and on the sorrow beyond the grave. And that one authority is the Bible, the Word of God. One authority in all the earth. And it's the Bible, the Word of God. Now, Matthew chapter 5, if you would turn there with me, please. Did you know that the greatest of all Bible preachers on hell was Jesus Christ Himself? He was the greatest of all hellfire and brimstone preachers. His message was a warning against the terrible consequences of sin and eternal hell. And though He preached love, He preached on hell. He made it clear. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, it says at the end of the verse, "But whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." He's preaching about hell fire. Chapter 10, Matthew. Matthew 10 and verse 28, Christ is talking again. Red letter edition. "And fear not them," in verse 28, 10:28, "and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Talking about hell, He's preaching on hell, and that's what you ought to fear. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13:40. "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Again, He's speaking about hell and describing it as a furnace of fire where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew chapter 13, later in the chapter, verse 49, "So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's hell. Jesus Christ was teaching on the reality of hell. Chapter 23 and verse 33. Look there. Christ is not done yet. 23:33. "Again, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Christ made it plain. Christ wasn't afraid to broach the topic. Christ wasn't afraid to declare it plainly, clearly, that there's a damnation of hell that's coming. In chapter 25 and verse 41. 25 verse 41. "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, 'Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Oh my. It's an everlasting fire, we learned there. And as if to make it absolutely clear, He says in the same chapter, verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into life eternal." Or in other words, now He applies this place to individuals, men and women, boys and girls on this earth who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Savior.
Turn with me to Mark chapter 9 for a further description that Christ gives us in His preaching and His teaching. Jesus Christ, who is love, who came to seek and to save that which was lost because He loves us. He came to declare to us what hell is like as a motivation for us to get our hearts and lives right with God. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Verse 45, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into fire, the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Verse 47, "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He preached against sin. He preached against hell. He opened the eyes of the people and us today about what hell was really like. This morning I want us to examine one chapter in the Bible. Go back to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 is the only account, listen to me carefully, this is amazing. It's the only account anywhere in the entire world of a man who went to hell and what it was like for him. The title of this message is found in verse 23 of Luke 16, the first three words, "and in hell." And in hell. Notice that the Bible doesn't call this story a parable. It's a true story. The reasons are because we have a historical character in it, Abraham. And because Lazarus is given a name, and in parables, names aren't given. We know that the rich man's name is withheld, and it could be perhaps to protect his loved ones who heard this true account. Ladies and gentlemen, if we can't believe this message, this passage, we cannot believe the entire Bible. Jesus spoke it. We can't believe what Jesus said if we can't believe this passage. There's a lot that hinges on this passage. Now look with me at six considerations as I preach on "and in hell." Number one, hell is not just the grave. Did you hear me? Hell is not just the grave. Well, I'll just die and I'll go to the grave and that'll be it. No. How foolish to believe that it's just the grave when you hear the rich man cry after he's died now, and in hell he lifts up his eyes and he cries in that state, "I am tormented in this flame." He can still talk, he can still feel, he's still in misery after death. Think now. He did not say this calmly. He did not say, "Well, it's a little warm down here." He didn't say, "Well, I'm uncomfortable in this flame." He didn't say that, did he? No. It's not like he's warming his hands by a fire. It's nothing like that. He cried out frantically and desperately, "It's hot, I can't get any relief, I am in torment in this flame." And he goes on and keeps screaming. That's what the Bible says when it says that there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's no relief in sight, there never will be in hell. Torment hurts. He didn't want his family to go through this hurt, this torment. He wanted his brothers to repent in verse 28, "lest they come to this place of torment." Consider this. Repenting would not keep someone from the grave. He wanted them to be able to repent so they would not come to this place. And so if it was just the grave, repenting wouldn't get the job done. Everybody's going to go to the grave someday, their bodies that is. Everyone. But he has to be describing how to stay out of, not the grave, how to stay out of hell and this torment, this state that's after the grave. Repenting of your sin and trusting in Christ as your only Savior will keep you out of hell. Every preacher, I'm sorry, every person burning in hell, and every preacher, if he's burning in hell today, knows what this thirst is like that this man suffered. And in hell. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 48, Jesus spoke of hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In Revelation 19:20, hell is a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 14:11 says this, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." The scriptures are so clear and plain and graphic concerning hell that anyone who says that it's the grave is either ignorant or a deceiver.
Right.
Could I ask you this morning, are you going to hell? Or do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's one or the other. Number two. Hell is not the grave. Number two. Hell is a real place of torment. Luke chapter 16, right there in front of you. Verse 23. It says, being in torments. Verse 24. I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25. Thou art tormented. Do you see that? Verse 25. 28. This place of torment. This is a real place. And this is only the beginning of it all. This is the beginning. It's a real place and it's a place of torments. Can I ask you, are you going to hell? Thirdly, hell is automatic after death for the unsaved. It's automatic. There's no stop between death and hell. Breathe your last breath and you wake up in hell. Immediately. There's no place of rest or purging called purgatory. Don't believe that. This is instantaneous when you die. May I remind you of what the Bible says in this real life account in Luke chapter 16 of the death of this lost man. In verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried and in hell. Do you find a gap there? There is no gap. Don't believe the gap theory in the Old Testament. Don't believe a gap theory here. Just as Lazarus was escorted by angels immediately upon death to his eternal bliss, so the rich man immediately went to hell. The Bible says for the Christian that absent from the body is present with the Lord. Or in other words, immediately we are in the presence of the Lord. For the lost person, it's the same way as it's described here in Luke 16. Absent from the body is present in hell. There's no delay. There's no soul sleep. Don't believe that. No probation. There's no purgatory. It's automatic and immediate. It's going to happen right now. Those who believe in purgatory teach that at death, one goes to purgatory for a time in order for his friends and relatives to pray and pay and light candles and do good works to secure their release out of this purgatory. Their version of this verse would be that the man died and was buried and stopped in purgatory to see his friends and to see if if his friends back here on earth could keep him from going on to hell. That would be their version. Could I ask you a question? Do you want to know the truth? You sit here and you want to be fogged up and not know what the truth is? You want to believe a bunch of fairy tales? Or do you want to know the truth? My job as a preacher is to declare to you God's truth. This is the truth. The truth is, there's not one verse in the Bible that teaches a limbo or a purgatory. Not one. There's not even the hint that a man who dies without Christ gets a second chance anytime after death, ever. Rather, God is clear that if you are not right with Him at the moment that you die, that you will immediately go to hell, and that hell is forever. There's no second chance. Before we can even have a funeral here for a lost man's soul. For a lost man, his soul is already burning in hell and will forever. The rich man made it clear that he wanted to get out. And he couldn't. He wanted to get out of hell. Anybody who is in hell, I'll guarantee you, wants to get out. It's not a place that you put a reservation in for, that you plan to go to. While on earth, the rich man did everything his heart could imagine. He was rich. He fared sumptuously daily. He had everything that he wanted, and he didn't care about God. He hid behind his excuses, like men and women still do today, as to why he didn't have time for God. And he couldn't give his heart to Christ. Oh no, he hasn't got time to do that. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're always going to, but you never get around to it. Maybe you're one who sits and listens, but you never do it. You could have heard all the gospel messages from the best preacher that ever lived and still go to hell. It's not in the hearing, it's in the obedience from your heart. It's in receiving Christ as your Savior. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 describes a sad sinner. It describes you if you don't know Christ and what's going to happen to you if you don't receive Christ as your Savior. Here is one who will never be able to change the judgment that's been pronounced upon him. In verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between you and us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. There's a great gulf. And there's a great gulf between heaven and hell. Your loved ones may go to heaven, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. And they can't come down and talk to you and comfort you, and you can't go to them and be comforted. Today you may sit down on a hot day and have a nice glass of iced tea or a soda or something like that and get some relief, but there will be no relief in hell. There's no middle ground. It's heaven or hell. There's no crossing over. There's no second chance. There is no purgatory. Please, can I get it to you? It is urgent, absolutely imperative that you hear what I'm saying. You must be born again. As soon as the text says that he died and in hell, it was over. Don't be fooled by false teachers or your own concoctions of what you think. They have no foundation for their teaching. I'm asking you again today, are you going to hell? You don't have to. Are you going to hell? Because you do not have to, sir. Ma'am, you do not have to go to hell. Hell is not just the grave. It's a real place of torment. Hell is automatic after death for the unsaved. Fourthly, in hell, a person remains conscious. I want you to see this. The rich man is the same person who was on earth. He has the same mind. It's his soul and spirit. He has the same mind. He recognized Lazarus when he was on earth. He recognized Lazarus when he was in hell. He's conscious. He's alert. He's aware of his surroundings. He remembers that he has brothers in this live account, true account from Christ. He remembers. He has memory. He has a brain. He's aware. He's conscious in hell. Jesus wouldn't lie to us. He remembers his brothers. He remembers that he did not repent, but he makes a plea that if they would send somebody from the dead, maybe his brothers would repent so they wouldn't come to this place. He's alert. He's thinking. He's conscious, but all the time in torment. He still has bodily desires. How do you know that? He thirsted. He's thirsty. Somebody, just get some water and dip it at the tip of my tongue so that I can get a little bit of relief. He still has some desires. There's a memory in hell. He may remember his mama's prayers. His wife or husband, her husband's prayers. Her papa's prayers. He may recall gospel songs and the words and lament every time, wishing that he could just be back one more time. If he could just get back to another service and God would give him one more opportunity. He remembers singing the songs about Christ, but never knew Christ for himself. He may recall a sermon or sermons that he heard. He may recall sitting as the preacher preached fervently and every opportunity that he had to get saved. And he may rehearse that like a big video machine in his mind in hell of every opportunity, and probably one in particular where the Holy Spirit was working on him or working on her and she wouldn't come forward. He wouldn't come forward. He wouldn't receive Christ. He'll remember it. In hell, a man will have his mind. He'll have his memory. He'll have his feelings, his emotions. He'll have his conscience. Notice his soul did not sleep. Don't believe that tommy rot. There is a conscious suffering going on. A thought process to it indeed. I'm asking you again, are you going to hell? Because you don't have to. You do not have to. Number five, hell has fire. Hell has fire. It's not a warm resort. It's fire. It is torment from the fire. Here's how the Bible describes it. In Mark 5:22, it's called hell fire. In Matthew 5:22, Matthew 18:19, be cast into hell fire. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 47 and 48, hell fire. In Revelation 20 and verses 14 and 15, hell is called the lake of fire. Luke chapter 16, tormented in this flame. In Matthew 13, 42, cast into a furnace of fire. In Matthew 25, verse 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 43, go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Fire. You want to know the truth of what it will be like if you die and in hell you find yourself. It will be like the Bible says. It'll be a place of enormous heat and fire and flame. Say, you're trying to scare. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to preach to you the truth. You know why it's so important that a preacher declare the truth? Because there's so much lying going on out there. There's so much false teaching. There's so much of everybody's got their own ideas about things and nobody cares about what God says. My job is to tell you what God says. Now here's what God says. Hell has fire. I'm asking you this morning, are you going to hell? Because if you are, there is a way of escape. And you need to be wise. If you were burning in a building, you wouldn't be an idiot and say, yeah, it's getting hot in here. Not when there was a window and there was a fire escape. You'd say, man, I'm nobody's dummy. I'm getting out. I'm taking the escape that's provided. Why won't you do that spiritually? That's what you should do. Take the escape that's provided. Jesus died in your place to pay for your sins so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. The only thing he asks is that you receive him as Savior, and therein is the escape. Receive him today. Number six, last thought from God's word this morning about hell is that hell is eternal. It's forever. If a lost soul at death simply ceased, that would be terrible enough. I mean, if there was nothing else. When a sinner dies, he misses all the glories of heaven. He misses the presence of God, all the happiness around the throne of God. That would be bad enough. But it's not all there is. According to the only authority on the topic, which is God and the Bible, he not only will not be in heaven, every Christ rejecter, everyone who ignores the clarion call to be saved, will go to the eternal torments of hell. Eternal. Not only is the place hell eternal, but so is, listen to me, so is the torment of hell eternal. It's not that there is hell and it's eternal, but you're only going to be tormented for an hour and a half. The place and the torments are both eternal. There's no hope of parole. There's no parole. You aren't going to get out. You aren't going to make an appeal. God's justice makes no mistakes. When He issues the condemnation, it's forever. That's it. Think of this. The rich man has been in hell for about 2,000 years right now, suffering in torment in hell. And it's only just begun. And it's not because he was rich. It's because he rejected Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the poor man, Lazarus, has been comforted in heaven for 2,000 years. And by the way, it's not because he was poor. It's because he accepted Christ. It's because he was obedient. And they are just beginning. In Revelation chapter 20, go over there with me and we'll close the message this morning. Revelation 19 and verse 20. When we talk in the book of Revelation of the beast, we're talking about the Antichrist. That's another name for the Antichrist. I can prove that to you. We don't have the time in this message. But in 19:20 it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both, the beast and the false prophet, or the Antichrist and the false prophet, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." But now look at the next chapter, chapter 20 and verse 10. They were cast alive. 1,000 years later now, what we have going on in chapter 20 is the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. 1,000 years later, they are still suffering and in torment. It says in 20:10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet," what's that next word? "Are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." Hell is forever. If you die, and in hell you lift up your eyes, you will never see anything but hell from then on. This morning you have learned the truth from God's Word about hell. Hell's not just the grave, it's a real place of torment. It's automatic after death for the unsaved. In hell, a person remains conscious. He has all of his faculties. Hell has fire and hell is eternal. It's forever. And I'm asking you again this morning for the sixth time. Are you going to hell? The reason I'm asking is because you don't have to. There's a way opened up because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Now you don't have to go into defense mode. I don't know what you're defending against. Obeying Christ? Are you defending because Christ is trying to get you to go to heaven? You say, "No! No! I want to go to hell!" You're not. You're crazy. Don't go in defense mode. Go in yield mode. Yield to Him this morning. Let Him save your soul so that you don't have to go to this terrible place of torment and suffering. I don't want anybody to go there. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I presented the truth to you this morning. I'm asking you, what is your decision? Will you ignore the warning? Or will you come to an old-fashioned old altar of prayer and repent of your sin, trust the only Savior, Jesus Christ? In just a moment, I'll give you an opportunity to come. And when you do, I want you to come and shake Pastor Chris's hand. Tell him eyeball to eyeball, I want to be saved. And he'll have somebody pray with you. I beg of you, do not put it off any longer. Don't make any more excuses. You don't want to wake up in hell. Others may be praying for you, but it really all comes down to you. It all comes down to you receiving Christ. Will you receive Christ? Because you can do it right now.